This is a very nice translation. It's a recent translation by David Hinton, H-I-N-T-O-N, which I like. And Chuang Tzu is basically the, we could say, sort of one of the standard carriers after Lao Tzu. He sort of picked up the picked up where Lao Tzu left off, only he's in a very different vein. And he's very sort of into the absurdities which are created by these differences between the different dimensions of ourself. And he's sort of looking at the Tao of it all, and, you know, and constantly pokes fun of people who get fixated on any aspect of either the energetic or the physical. And, you know, or making proclamations about this is the way it is in the energetic, or it's in this plane, or... But one of his most famous passages, actually, the most often quoted, I will read to you because it's relevant to our workshop here today. And that's really about the boundary between the dream state and ordinary waking state. It's a short little paragraph. I'll just read it to you. It says, long ago, a certain Chuang Tzu dreamt he was a butterfly. A butterfly fluttering here and there on a whim, happy and carefree, knowing nothing of Chuang Tzu. Then, all of a sudden, he woke to find that he was, beyond all doubt, Chuang Tzu. But who knows if it was Chuang Tzu dreaming a butterfly, or a butterfly dreaming Chuang Tzu? Chuang Tzu and butterfly. Clearly, there's a difference. This is called the transformation of things. So, raises the question about dreaming itself, of course. We think we're the dreamers, and we're, you know, having these dreams, and, you know, we're these intrepid dream explorers now. But in fact, from another perspective, this entire plane may be the other side of you's dream. And I actually favor that interpretation. And I think it's useful to think of the physical plane actually as a dream state. It is one very finely crafted and sustained dream, but nonetheless can be dissolved in a moment when the dreamer awakens and goes, well, I'm not that now. So just because it seems to have more greater stability and density doesn't disqualify it from being a dream. But the question is, can we be powerful enough to have dream our own physical reality? And this is actually one of the uses of dreaming, even from our perspective here. Let's talk about lucid dreaming, and then let's talk about the dream commands that might apply. And I'm also going to introduce a new idea here, a new method called the dream gesture. Yes. Oh. There was questions raised in the initial phases of clearing with the ring. Are you talking about with the ring passing through the body?
Every time we go to the left and clear the left, and we go to the right and clear the right.
There was some confusion about moving the energy up or down, and what was best or the most appropriate way to do it. Is that what the question was? Yeah. Okay, let's clear that up before we go into the dream gesture. If you start with a ring at your feet, a hoop, or a circle of light, you do have associations with your feet of connected to the earth. And that's normally where we think of the earth force as coming from, even though we're lying on our back. So it may be more powerful for you to invoke a cooling night force coming from the feet. Okay. We do the triple heater sound just clearing from above to below, because the heat during the conscious mind tends to rise up, just like basic physics. Heat rises, okay? So it gets up in the heart and the brain, and the belly is turns to be cold, and that forms a swamp because it, the moisture is trapped there and it can't cook and dry out. So we tend to get stagnant qi and swamp qi basically in our belly. So the triple heater sound is designed to connect the energy from the upper burners, the head, upper chest, middle, down with the lower. Because that's where the stagnation tends to occur, is in the lower, and there tends to be more heat available. So the he sound, you're looking down, you see the body's nifty tube, and you move the heat down. And then when you're doing the rings, that's really a different process where you're now taking energy from outside your body. The triple warmer is using the energy of your body that's maldistributed, and you're redistributing it, okay? Taking it down to the lower dantian and to the ming min, the door of life between the kidneys, and then from there out to the feet. The ring is a technique where you're just basically seeing a field of energy coming over you, and you're shifting your focus away from your physical body into an energy field. And the ring is just a symbol, a hoop, a way to envelop. Basically, it's almost like it's just dissolving your body from the physical nature to an energy, to its energy field. Well, this is the question that was raised and why there was confusion. So I'm going to clarify that right now. If you bring in a dark-colored ring, from the, and it's coming from your feet, you're going to see it generally as night force because your associations with the feet are with the cooler, with the earth, okay, as opposed to the head, which is connected with the sun usually. Okay, even though at night, of course, it's cool above. And you could have alternate associations, but the conscious ego tends to associate more with the daytime, you know, model. So none of these are fixed, but just as a general rule, you're going to associate the night force more, so it might be appropriate to see the ring coming from the feet and passing over the body and having a feeling of night force coming over and then filling the body. You could say you clear the heat out or balance it inside the body with a triple warmer, and then you see this coming in and filling up the body with night force and life force and dissolving any sense of solidity. Okay? But you could also run it the other way. If you felt that more comfortable with it, if your head was too strong and this didn't penetrate to your head. That's the problem with starting with the feet. If you can dissolve this part up here and then the head stays in its own separate state of consciousness. So the reason why I suggest to bring it the other way is that for some people they have this ring around their head right away and their mind and their brain relaxes, then while they're going through the rest of their body, their head, their brain, their dominant brain has already shifted and you now feel you're in your energy body. You should go through the rest of the body. So there's no right or wrong here. It's just understanding what you're doing. And you're really washing the body and bringing in this night force. And because you're doing it with will, with intention, you stay conscious while the body dissolves. So you're assisting the body halfway to go into this dissolved, quote-unquote, sleep state. But you're keeping the mind awake because you're doing it. Try the triple heater first to release the heat out of the head and then try the ring and see if that's enough. You don't want to get excessively busy here with too many techniques, okay? Because then the dominant, the brain mind will take over. The monkey mind will say, oh, yeah, well, we'll have a whole gym, a whole circus here, okay? All right, so now, is that clear? Judge, is that clear? Okay.
And the triple heater sound is
he. And you make corners of the mouth open up, like a big grin, yeah. You do it sub-vocally. Nobody has to hear it. If they heard you, they think might think that you're sexist. Always talking about he, not instead of saying she. Huh? It. Right. I thought I noticed some of the healing sounds had changed once you started teaching them. Okay. There's the healing down, and there's the southern healing down. All right. Sheet. Am I getting it? Sheet. And then you put those white sheets over your head. Is that what it is? Okay. Uh-oh, sorry. Okay. Let's see. Okay, dream commands and getting into the lucid state. Okay, so I've already suggested the dream command, which is I want to wake up in my dream. Okay, you just say it as, not I want to, as a future thing. Everything is in present tense. Okay, no past tense, no future tense. I awake in my dream. I am awake, maybe even as a state of being. I am awake in my dream. You just woke up. You're very awake, right? Okay. Now, that one's well anchored now, right? I want to emphasize again, I think it is easiest to do this maybe after you've had some sleep and you got your body charged up and rested. So often what happens is you will be a period, this REM cycling, by the way, the dream cycling, the true dream cycle, not just the kind of the junk debris as you're kind of drifting down into it, where the eyes are actually turning. REM means rapid eye movement, okay? And brain chemicals have definitely shifted, okay? The things that normally allow the ego to function for the senses and judgment has been shut off by this other chemical. I think it's acetylcholine. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. Acetylcholine or something. And at that point, my own theory, is actually that a lot of energy from the lower dantian is passing in, from the core brain, the low brain. Okay, because I think this signal, this chemical signal, comes from the low brain. Okay? And so I think it's actually stimulated by the qi moving from the low brain, okay, which is also your low dantian, and in your head, all three brains are recapitulated as low brain, midbrain, and upper brain. Okay? But that's a recapitulation of the entire body. So I think that what it is, in the dream state, actually all the information is gathered because all the meridians of the body pass through the lower dantian. And this is how you keep your sense of body centeredness and integrate your experience. And if some meridians or channels are shut down, then you're dysfunctional and you start developing, you know, either weird psychology or weird physical things. Because you're functioning, you know, with two or three wheels. You're driving your car around. You don't have the fourth wheel. It's the same thing. Okay? So I think that that's information from the lower dantian area, and it's just now passing up through the different layers of the brain and being processed in the subtle brain. And I think that a lot of the receptor sites for subtle brain are in the upper part of the head, which brain scientists tell us are not being used. 90% of the brain is inactive, they say. I think they're just not able to detect its activity. A lot of the so-called unused portion of the brain is being used by the subtle bodies. And some of it is latent and has not been activated yet, but the more you start developing your subtle body awareness and your chi flow, the more you start to activate the complete use of all three of your brains. So there's something called the dream gesture, which you can also program into this pattern, okay? This again is like a training wheel. You don't have to stay with it, but it can be a useful device. I don't use one myself, but I don't need it. But you may find it very useful. So what is a dream gesture? It's a signal that you have woken up in the dream state. And it involves a small body movement. You raise a finger, okay? You turn the head slightly. Perhaps you wiggle your nose. The way my rabbit does it. I studied my rabbit when he was at night and he's in the dream state. He wiggles his nose when he says, I'm lucid. The purpose of this is for you to avoid getting into a false lucid. Well, this gets into the question, what is a lucid dream? What defines a lucid state? Okay? A lucid state is when you are simultaneously in the dream state and in physical awareness. You know that you are lying in bed dreaming. You know you're aware there's a bed, there's a room, whatever. And you are also participating in this dream. And you are the actor or the motive cause of action inside this dream. So you're getting a simultaneous and multidimensional experience, which is why it's so intense also. Because the full intensity of the astral plane is also being experienced by you in the physical plane. So that's the thrill of it, okay? Is you get to be in two places at once. And that's good training. It is possible to get into another state in which you are actually not in a lucid dream state, but I could easiest to describe it as either false lucidity or you are dreaming that you're dreaming. You're in a dream within a dream. Okay? You're not actually in the physical plane. You're in a dream that you're dreaming, you're having another dream in there. And so it looks like there's a character in there and is waking up in another dream. Okay? But it's not you physically. So if you do a dream gesture and you feel the body move and it's just like a signal, a very subtle signal that's not going to disturb you and take you out of the dream, but it's like an acknowledgement. Okay, yeah, my body's here and the dream is happening.
But how do you know the difference? Because it's hard. Sometimes the dreams I have, like...
The difference between what? Okay, so how you tell the difference is in a lucid dream, if you have a thought, it happens instantly. If you will something, the action takes place. Thought done. When you're dreaming, all these things are happening to you, and you're just being buffeted and moved around by these forces, just the way you are in any dream where you're not present and at will, at cause. Okay? So that's the difference. In a lucid dream, you can be driving the car and suddenly you say, okay, now the traffic is stuck, I want to fly, and the car takes off and it goes above it. Now I want it to go down and it goes down, okay? In a dream within a dream, you might see cars flying around, but then you can't stop them or tell them where to go, or, you know, this thing keeps happening and you're just, you know, it's just happening to you.
I have both now.
Okay. So you might use the dream gesture, though, as a way to verify what kind you're in also, though.
Okay.
So you can be lying there and you raise a finger. Or you wiggle your nose, you turn your head slightly. Now, there is a very ingenious device developed by, I think he calls it the Lucid Dreaming Institute out in Palo Alto, Stephen LaBarge, I think. LaBarge or Barge, I'm not sure. LaBarge, right? Yeah. and this is, I actually bought one of these things, although I never used it. I actually have a brand new device. If someone else wants to buy it from me, I just didn't need it. I had enough success with, you know, dealing with lucid dreams myself. But it's a very clever device. It's a mask that has a little sensor that detects when you start doing rapid eye movement. Okay? And then these little red lights will come on to let you know. Okay? It like acts as a signal to you. Oh, you're in rapid eye movement. So the little red lights will actually sit into your physical body and you can become aware, oh, I'm seeing red lights. And then it helps you wake up and see the dreaming, okay? So it's a very clever, it's got a little computer in there and, you know, you can program it for different types of things and different types of signals. It can also beep and make a sound, or it can just have the red light. So it's basically giving you a dream gesture, okay? It's a computerized dream gesture, okay? And, you know, I think it's an ingenious device and I just never had the patience to do it. You know, I had enough practice and things like that, I didn't really need it, but I was interested in testing it, I was exploring different dream tools, and, but if someone's interested in it, I still have this device. So, it's basically pretty simple. The main advantage of working with dreams, and lucid dreams, is you start to get comfortable with functioning with the theta, the next level of frequency. I was using the metaphor where someone else I was talking to was asking me about this. There's a difference between like sitting meditation and moving meditation, like Tai Chi or Qi Kung, when you do it as meditation. When you do a sitting meditation, it's very easy to get into a quiet, calm state very quickly, and nothing's disturbing you, and you know, you can say, wow, I'm totally, you know, I'm at some stage of samadhi or enlightenment or whatever. Okay? However, as soon as you start moving, well, you come out of that. So it's much harder to keep this kind of deep, calm, meditative state while you're moving. When you're doing Tai Chi, you're moving. So it's a more difficult training, really, to enter in the same state and have your body move, because the body distracts and it pulls you out of that deeper state. The same thing, I think, occurs in the dream state. If you can stay present through all the action of the dream, then that's like another level of training for your core awareness, okay? And you could substitute for core channel, which makes it seem like a place. Maybe you call it your inner eye, your inner observer. That might be easier for some of you to use that language. It's just that when we do the internal alchemy work, we work with some, you know, the chung mo, the core channel. And so I use that terminology. But if you're not familiar with what that is, just call it your inner eye, your observer. If you can keep your observer present in the middle of all this action and still know what's going on, that's another level of progress, another level of integration. So that's one of the benefits of doing this, okay? And then, of course, the other benefit is eventually you want to switch and be able to, it strengthens your sense of will, your intention, and the fluidity of you command something and it happens right away. And you get experience of playing with that so that when you shift back into the physical plane and you will something, you have a sense that that's possible, that if you mobilize enough of yourself, that thing will manifest more quickly. Maybe not as quickly as in the dream, because you still have density of the physical elements to move around, a lot more resistance here, but a lot faster, and that you'll have practice that way.
Once you begin to do that, you wake up. And so learning how to make those changes during the dream was one of the more difficult things to do. How do you work on that?
That's the next thing I was going to say. Thank you for asking the question. You must be just getting so telepathic. So the next thing I was going to say is that the problem is when you start to change things in a lucid dream, you often wake up. Why? Why do you wake up? Because usually you're having an emotional reaction, okay? And the emotion pulls you out of it. You have a lot of trapped emotional energy, and you get excited about what's happening in the dream, and you react to it, okay? When you're playing God and you're busy creating, you cannot go into reaction to what you just created. Otherwise, it stops dead. It doesn't have any flow, right? God's sculpting a human being, let's just use God as a metaphor for whatever creative force is, and creates the first, you know, let's say an arm and a breast. And then God looks at the breast and goes, my God, that's beautiful. Well, stops in reaction to that. Well, it won't make the rest of the body, okay? And he'll suddenly get out of his creative trance and, you know, the rest of it will come out mangled, like a little scribbled up whatever, okay? Because full attention is not there. So, usually what's happening is you're having, and I don't know if that was an appropriate example, that's just one example, one of God's problems, because God's a male, right?
Yeah, in this
culture.
Well, I think your body feels light because this happens, you know, when you're having a sad dream, you wake up crying. You need to cry, and you need to release.
So, what is the cure? Back to the basics, 6 healing sounds, fusion. Managing your emotional body, getting rid of the excess emotional chi that's trapped in the various organs, and learning then how to dissolve it with a fusion so it's neutralized. It's pure feeling and not reactive emotional energy. What you want is the energy of pure feeling. That's what the real high is. Wow, I'm feeling so intensely. If that can be pure feeling in the present moment, it's not reactive, and it will not pull you out of the experience and cause you to shift back to really the memory being held by the physical body of the intensity of some emotion. This is the main problem in meditation practice and healing illnesses and psychological integration. Okay? You often have a nexus, a combination of sexual and emotional energy. And it's just loaded, waiting for some trigger. Okay? Whether that trigger comes from the outer world or whether it comes from the dream world, it doesn't matter. So you go to that before you go to sleep. You do the healing sounds. You do the fusion practice. Another solution, the one I stumbled upon without even realizing it when I first started doing dream practice, was one I mentioned to you already, which is you're in the dream, you start giving your dream gesture, essentially, is to have the characters do certain practices. Or you yourself do it in the dream. You start to do the orbit or the fusion or a healing sound or something like that. So you're doing something which is integrative and calming, which is a practice that you're familiar with. Inner smile. Take it simple. Inner smile.
You mean inside the dream?
Yes. Oh. That becomes your dream gesture. Then you see the effect. You see the change. You know you've given the command. They're doing this practice there in the dream, and they're calming down. And they're not getting so excited. You know what I mean? It's essentially in order to get integrated. It's a dream command. Integrate your energy body, not react to it. So that's another solution. Okay? Do the inner smile. Okay? You may experiment with this and find other ways to do it as well. But that's essentially what the problem is. It tends to be emotional reactivity. Okay? Other questions or comments?
Are you going to cover a fusion stuff too?
Fusion? Am I going to teach fusion? Right. Fusion 1, 2, and 3 are the next level of training after learning the microcosmic orbit. It just gives you a greater sensitivity to how to reverse the flow of chi inside your body so it comes in to the senses instead of going out. And it gives you pathways to gather it so it moves back into the lower dantian, into a collection point. And you set up basically a functioning model of the energy body inside your physical body so that you can begin to shift energies even while you're in a conscious state. It's not, you know, it's energy work. It's used to transform negative emotions. You basically learn how to eat them. Instead of trying to get rid of them or suppress them, you digest them. Take the energy and just change the negative charge on it. That's fusion one. And then fusion two is open up more of the core channels and belt channels and what's called the eight extraordinary channels. And that starts to open up your whole energy body so you are able to operate and sense and shift and move in different ways in your energy body. And a lot of ways you could say that's just all, perfect preparation for dream work. So people who have taken that work have an advantage in during dream practice because they have a sense of being able to make those shifts while they're in their conscious state, so it's not as big a deal when they try and do this in dream practice. So, John, sounds like it was some time ago when you were working with lucid dreams. And now that you started to study these other practices, I would recommend, go back into it.
Oh, yeah, especially with what you've given.
And see how that is. and so that's also a caution, I will just say, when you do the dream gesture, the danger is it could wake you up. So you have to really program yourself to say you're going to stay calm and make a very small gesture. Okay? So that it's not going to be something that's going to take you out. I want to go back into practice now. I want to just mention one other thing before we do that. Make sure I covered everything here. Well, there's usually questions people will come up with. In case you don't ask it, I'll just raise it now. Sometimes there's a very violent kind of lucidity. In very violent dreams, they feel very lucid. And people are concerned about that, have concerns about tapping into, latent violence. I don't consider those to be really lucid dreams. They're just so intense, that you feel awake in them, or they may waken you, and you may actually remember them. Remembering a dream right afterwards is not the same thing as lucidity. Lucidity has to be simultaneous, okay? A lot of people remember dreams or don't remember them, and So you shouldn't confuse remembering dreams with lucidity. It feels sometimes very lucid because you've woken up and now you know you're awake, but you haven't completely started functioning physically, so you think, well, you're still in a lucid state, but you're not actually in a lucid state. You're actually remembering the dream. You're not actually in the dream now. It means the dream is actively happening. You're in the dream body, actively experiencing the dream events and creating them, and you're aware of having a physical body. And you're always aware that you're in your bed and lying in the room.
Oh, no.
That's not lucid dream then. Then you're remembering those dreams.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Remembering a dream is not the same thing as having a lucid dream.
Oh.
Tell me something.
Huh?
Usually when I remember a dream, it's only the last part and I can usually go back. What happens is that something will happen in my environment that becomes part of the dream. It never makes any sense to me how I could create an entire dream where that would end up with somebody pounding on a wall and it's really somebody knocking on my door. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Happens all the time. Happens all the time.
So, other than that, I usually don't remember it. But when something happens to me like that, it kind of draws me, jerks me into it, then I can remember the entire dream.
Right. My interpretation of that event, when you... Someone's banging the door and you're having someone in the dream banging in your head or something?
Yeah.
Okay? Is that, in fact, your energy body, your dream body, is alerting you. It knows the pounding on the door is happening and that it's trying to wake up the physical body. And so it's coming into the dream and communicating to you through the dream what's going on. So it's a communication, actually. That's just my own interpretation of that. Now...
What do you think it is, though,
well, no, let's be clear about it. The easiest dreams to remember are the ones just before you wake up. Okay? Because what is memory? You're talking about the conscious activation of the conscious memory and the ego. Okay? So, right after when they wake up, that comes to functioning again, and there's still the impressions of the astral plane. Just part of your astral body is still coming back into your physical body. Basically, when you're waking up, you call it back in. It comes back in, and when it finally arrives completely, I mean, you know, those... The segments of yourself that are on vacation. I got to move, I got to answer the door. Someone's pounding on it or the phone. And sometimes they haven't all arrived back and you're picking up the phone and you're, half of you is awake and talking and the other half is still getting back into the body. Okay? So, does that clarify this about the difference between remembering dreams, lucid dreams, and false dreams? We have three categories here now. Dreaming within a dream. Okay? Lucid dreaming, you're actually in the dream and you're awake physically. A dream within a dream. You don't have power of control in the dream. You're not really awake physically. And then remembering a dream. Now, for most people, the first step to increasing lucidity is actually to remember dreams. Okay? Some people say they don't dream. Dream researchers have proven everybody dreams. Some people think they don't dream in color. Okay, they only have black and white dreams.
Yeah.
They're colors. If you see things in colors, your eyes are moving, and then you've got rods and cones. And yeah. So the next really level of command is, I remember my dream. Okay? That's really before I wake up in my dream. If you're going to take it in stages, okay? First stage would be, I wake up refreshed. I wake up refreshed. Yeah, these are the dream commands. First stage would be, I wake up refreshed, and you get a response, or I wake up at a certain time. Second stage would be, I remember my dream. Okay? Before you go to sleep, I say, I remember my dream. Present tense, remember, all the commands, present tense. I remember my dream. Third stage, I wake up in my dream. Okay? Do you see the sequence? You're training yourself to get more and more involved on, like you're tracking the animal and you get closer and closer to it. And then finally you emerge and you go right inside it. And then we'll talk about it before we practice this one. So, are there any more questions? Dream gesture? And And you can also just do the dream gesture just before you're doing the dream command. You can just say, I will remember my dream, or you say, I wake up my dream, you do the gesture at the same time, your finger or your nose or whatever. So it's like a simultaneous command, the gesture and the dream command together. Anybody have questions? Anybody else need to go to the bathroom? Okay. I think we covered all that. Okay, let's actually, I think we had too much lunch. Let's stand up for a second. Let's just do a little bit of.
Over to your table, when you're laying down and you're talking, could you talk a little loud because I can't hear and I talk to one of them.
Yes, I will do that.
Thanks.
I promise. I will give myself the dream command to talk loud in my sleep. My watch. There it is. Ed, come out of your lucid dream. I will stand up in my lucid dream now. I will begin to move my body in my lucid dream. Let's shake it. Shake that lunch up. Stir it in there. Oh, it feels good to shake that chi around and get that food, help it digest there. What a pathetic group. The Walking Dead. This is not about sleepwalking. Yeah, but we want to have enough chi so we can do something during our siesta. This is not lay down and die siesta. This is not drink 10 cervezas and then dream of beer floating a sea, a river of beer.
Ooh, that's a lime, that's salt.
All right, drop your heels down, that'll wake you up. Drop your heels on the ground. Just and swing your arms and drop your heels at the same time. And knock your teeth together. Now you look alive. A bit like robots, but you look like alive robots. Chomping at the bit. Pretend you're chomping at the bit to get into dream practice. Your teeth are just chomping there. That wakes up your brain. Can't wait to do that dream practice. Make sure you lift up your heels and up and down. You need to slow it. And that'll shake your bones up and wake you up a little bit. Remember, if you're real sluggish and tired, you're not going to do dream practice. You're just going to sleep. Yeah, I know. My job is to whip you. Whip you into dreaming awake. Oh, yucky poo. Yucky poo. Yes, I am the great Yucky Poo. My poo is greater than your little poo, though. Watch out. And I have the great Poo Bah working for me. Okay, hands up above the head. Stimulate the chi around the area of the brain. Pretend that your fingers are little neurons and dendrites, brain cells. And you're still hopping up and down on your heels. Your dendrites with heels. And now one goes up and the other one goes up. Left and right channels are now firing. And you are all hired to be my Taoist disco. Go, go, Tao girls and boys. That's it. Okay, just do that for an hour. Okay.
Okay.
No, do what I say, not what I do. All right, I'll do it with you. My God, you're like children. I just like, I won't do it unless you do it, huh? God. What kind of relationship are we in here anyway? I have to redream this one. I will wake up. I'll be in a dome filled with mature dream practitioners. Okay, now drop it. Again, drop it. All that stuff that was up in your brain, now throw it down on the ground. Up in your toes. Throw it down to your feet. Oh, that was a workout. Are we awake now? So now there's no point in going to sleep. Let's do something else. Let's just talk for another hour. Did I hear a roar of excitement? Yeah. Okay. A little bit in the organs. Especially around the belly here. Just get all that undigested food moving. Clap with your buttocks. Round of applause. Good. That was a round of applause for the great Pooba. All right, now I think we're ready to lie down and do some dream practice. Some chi. And I am going to come around and pinch anybody who falls asleep too fast. If I'm awake. Okay. Let's try the dream command this time. We're going to just say, I remember my dream. Let's see if we can have, we'll give you 20 minutes here, see if you can go into the dream state and then remember it. Your dream command will be, I remember my dream. And let's also start doing a gesture, just to get comfortable with it before we actually try and do it in the live dream state, the lucid state. So we're going to do a dream gesture along with the command, I remember my dream. And you remember, this is a feeling, the joy, the pleasure of remembering your dream. That's the feeling you need to communicate to your dream body, so that you will instantly recover that. Okay, let's start on our backs. Let's do a couple, just one or two triple warmer sounds, clear out anything.